Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Garden Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed. I'm here with my boy, Regular Joe. Tell me how you feeling, my guy.
Feel good, man. Feel good.
Gotta see, get the way.
See, we're both appropriately wearing black for tonight's funeral.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, pack them up, nail in the coffin.
Yes, sir.
Get them up out of here. So, we are here because the Knicks beat the Miami Heat 101-92 on our home floor. We win the season series versus these guys. Shout out to Izzy in the chat. What's going on? Peace and abundance to you, my brother. Yeah, man. It wasn't pretty at first, of course. You know,
it's, I mean, it wasn't pretty at all.
It wasn't pretty at all. I mean, the last quarter was... Last quarter, I'll give it to the last quarter. Last quarter, I 25-16, and I think we pretty much handled business then. I'll give them that. But it wasn't pretty at first. Very, very disgusting game. But you know, we won. That's the main thing. Unfortunately, Julius Randle gets hurt in this one. Not something that anybody wanted to happen, you know what I mean? Especially, I mean, as much as we were trash talking him last week, not we, but you know, as a fan base, about what he's been doing. I mean, we did have our words, of course, but as much as the fan base was talking about what he did last week with Quickly, nobody wants him to be out with an injury.
Nah, I mean, he's an important part of this team.
Right, right. Especially when he's when his mind is right. Now tonight it wasn't the prettiest performance from Julius Randle prior to the ankle injury. In fact, at that time, him and RJ both were playing pretty bad. I think they both at one point were was 0-for-8 together. You know,
yeah, it wasn't pretty.
They were.
I won't hold it too much against him. He never really got settled into this game. Who knows what would have happened if he would have stayed in the game?
Usually Julius Randle. Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough to see him go out like that, man. Guys.
He's been balling.
Yeah. It's a bad time.
Just a bad time. Yeah. And that's really all it's about. It's just timing. Half the time it's like, like just like last week, whatever happened, it was just timing. You know what I mean? That was really what it was. It was just like, ah. But to go out tonight the way he did, coach says he'll be reevaluated tomorrow. But, you know, what can you do at this point? You know what I mean? He's already hurt. You can't complain about it. These guys stepped up. And I tell you what, we've seen something that we really didn't get to see. It was a lineup that Ian Bagley actually said. He said the IQ. Let me look at it again. Because it was very interesting. Of course, it was a lineup that we don't really ever get to see because Julius is usually there.
It's crazy, too, because when he went down, I said in the live thread on the Frozen Envelope that you know, the Heat play small. So if the Knicks want to, they could just go with, a center and four wing guards.
Mm-hmm. And then they'd still be able to handle business, which is what they did. The lineup with Emmanuel Quickly, Quentin Grimes, RJ Barrett. By the way, shout out to M. Bagley. This was tweeted by M. Bagley. Does amazing work in this community. He says Emmanuel Quickly, Quentin Grimes, RJ Barrett, Josh Hart, and Isaiah Hartenstein. That lineup played the entire fourth quarter versus Miami. Knicks outscored the Heat 25-16 in the quarter of a home win. Did a cursory check of lineup data at the buzzer. Don't think that five-man lineup played together before tonight. So
no, I don't think they have.
Ever. So, I mean, yeah.
Tibbs talked about it, though. Like, he kind of hinted at it. Mm-hmm. When the Josh Hart trade was made,
right?
He talked about playing small and maybe having Hart play a little power forward. Mm-hmm. And Knicks fans like were up in arms. I remember him saying that, right? And I remember it was on the Knicks official YouTube page. I remember looking in the comment section, seeing people say, oh, fire this guy. This is stupid. Who's going to play hard at the four? That's so dumb. And it's like, do y'all know, do y'all watch
basketball?
Basketball, yo.
2023, bro.
Like, do y'all watch this shit at all? Like, it's not crazy, especially when you consider, and I say this all the time, most teams don't play a legit four off the bench.
They don't.
Most teams play a 6'7", 6'8"-ish kind of guy off the bench.
Yeah.
At power forward. So it's not that far-fetched or, like, crazy. But, like, they just hate him. That's all. Some people just hate him. And anything that he says, they're going to have a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I just don't like that. Like, you show how stupid you are just to hate somebody. You know what I mean? Like, is it worth it?
That's a lot of our fan base, though. You know what I mean? It's silly, ridiculous takes because you just want to have one. And it doesn't have to make any sense. It's just something that you want to stand on. You know what I mean? And you make up whatever belief makes sense to you so that you can tell someone else that this is why I don't like this person. Cool. Does it mean that you know what the hell you're talking about? Absolutely not.
I don't know. I like myself too much, bro, to make myself like an idiot. Like, see, the bad part about it is, like, oftentimes, especially doing this, right? Like, you come on here and you talk. And you talk a lot, right? Mm-hmm. You talk a lot about this team. You're going to have takes that don't age well, right? Like, you're going to be wrong. Like, it's going to happen.
It's happening.
Like, you're going to look like an idiot.
I've been wrong a lot. I've been wrong a lot.
But, like, it's different when your, like, takes are, like, based on something. You hear me talk about this all the time.
Right?
Like, you say that because of what? You know? And there was no reason for, like, Knicks fans to be up in arms that he said Josh Hart might play a little small ball for. Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that they just don't like Tom Thibodeau.
Right. Harry says, so a non-educated fan base will make comments that make you shake your head. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that we're non-educated. If anything, we're one of... Which is... It just sounds bad. I don't even like saying it. Because then someone who's not a Knicks fan is going to talk shit. But we're some of the most knowledgeable fans out there. You know what I mean? Given our history with basketball, just as a state. You know what I'm saying? Just as an area. The tri-state area is, like, heavily, you know, basketball. It's a lot of basketball. So, yeah, you're going to have some guys who know what the hell they're talking about. But you're also going to have some guys who don't know what the hell they're talking about and then have a voice. So it's kind of like,
see, I don't even think that, like, sometimes I don't even think sometimes it comes down to not knowing what you're talking about. I just think people are agenda driven.
Yeah, that's it. There's a narrative. There's always a narrative.
People are agenda driven, bro. Like, there's no other way to explain it. And some people's agenda is they don't like the coach and they want him out. So whenever he says anything that, you know, sounds to them a little sketchy, or that they could convince others that it's sketchy, right? Because some people are susceptible to that. Then they're gonna make a thing out of it.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's really just about having to take about something that, and, you know, it's a motive, ulterior motive, really. You know,
they made it sound like he said, "Oh, we're gonna line, we're gonna put Josh Hart." You know, in the game, in the fourth quarter, to guard Anthony Davis. You know what I mean?
Like, we're really going to do that. Like, you really think coach is dumb enough to play Josh Hart on someone who's a 7-footer, 6'10"? Like, come on. Like, stop it. I mean, Josh Hart is a great defender. He's a very smart defender. There's no way you expect him to guard a guy that's 6'10", 6'11" in the post and up. It's not going to happen. They're just going to go right over him. Like, it's just, you know, it's physics. It's just simple shit. So, you know what I mean? Like, the coach isn't dumb. He breathes this shit. Like, if we're really being
he literally it's all he does.
Yeah. All he does.
It is literally all he does. He has no family. I mean, he has family, but he has like no like actual family that he goes home to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not married. He has no kids. Like, this guy literally
breathes basketball.
Is married to basketball.
That's it.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know more than this guy. He has forgotten more basketball than we've ever learned. He's been a part of championship teams. Like, this guy has seen it all.
He's forgotten more basketball than we probably will ever see, honestly.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, that's what happens when you have some very educated Knicks fans who know more than the coach of the National Basketball Association. That kind of stuff. Harry says, young cats that started watching late in the game that never played or just no video game basketball make the most outlandish comments. Boy, the 2K GMs, man. Oh my God.
Oh, yo, Harry, absolutely. And we seen it in the last game. He said that Hartenstein needs more touches. We seen it in the last game when Quickly was the starter. We talked about it. When Quickly was the starter, they seemed to want to run more through Hartenstein with Quickly not being in there. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said after the game, Harry, he said that, you know, his role here is different than what it's been in the past on other teams. But, you know, he said he's a professional and he accepts the role. He said here he's more of a rebounder and shot blocker. But he said that if they call on him to be a playmaker, you know, he could do that too. It's part of his game, is basically what he said.
Didn't he have, what, 6 assists last game?
6 assists. Yeah, we need to get into the game now. I feel like we...
Yeah.
We got way off track, bro.
Literally, 12 minutes in, we didn't mention the game at all. So, let's shout out to my man, Raul. What's going on, bro? How you feeling? Good to see you. Thank you for coming out, of course. Harry says they ran the offense through him on his other team.
Yeah, on the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the thing. Coach, like we've just finished saying, he's not stupid. It took him a while to figure out the guy's role. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not gonna come in and know exactly what this guy does, because players also develop. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because they had a role here doesn't mean that is the role that they will play for the rest of their career. Like, I'm sure that they work on other aspects of their game. So I'm sure he had to work his way into the lineup. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just how you're supposed to do this shit. You know what I mean? But
and like you said, his role here is different.
Right. Your role here on every team is different because they have different roles filled by other people, so there might not be as much as a responsibility for you in certain aspects.
Gotta get in where you fit in.
Get in where you fit in, exactly. So, you know what I mean? I'm really like, there was a pass that he made from the top of the key. Was it too Quickly or was it too Hart? It was Hart, of course. I'm sure it was Hartenstein to Hart. But it was a beautiful pass. He just dumped it right off to him, and it was just like, damn, bro, like, what is this team becoming? You know what I'm saying? Because we have a lot of good pieces. It's just the defense. If we can put it together on defense. Like, tonight, we looked okay on defense, but we also...
I thought the Knicks were really good defensively tonight. I mean, they made the worst offense in the league look like the worst offense in the league.
Exactly.
Which was why we were so disappointed that they gave up 127 in the last game. Yeah, because we're like, these guys can't score, yeah?
They can't. And that's the thing. Like, I'm not upset that they won the game, but they also look good defensively against the worst offensive team in the league. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a good move, a good step in the right direction, but hopefully it's just, they need to get back in rhythm. Hopefully
they do.
Get back in rhythm.
Hopefully tonight was a start. I mean, the second half of the last game, they were a little bit better.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're trending in the right direction, man. Right. I mean, the defense tonight is, because they were, especially like, excuse me, the first half, they were really bad.
They were really bad. I mean, I'm not going to lie. And this is not to beat up on the guy. Let's just be real. We're just talking about strengths and weaknesses. there's some certain areas after Julius went out that they were better defensively because of rotations.
Oh yeah, of course. So, I mean,
you know what I mean? That just comes with it. So I'm not saying I don't want Julius on his team anymore so that we can run all these other guys at positions they don't need to be playing at. That's not what I'm saying.
I mean, the same goes for Brunson though. Like,
facts.
They're a better defensive team when he's not on the court.
Yeah.
But I don't think that when they're both engaged, I don't think Julius or Brunson kill you.
No,
in the defensive. No, you know what I mean?
It's just a possession here or there where it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the timing of the possession usually that frustrates you. But like we always said, when Brunson was first coming, I remember we were saying, it's like, Brunson is not a bad defender, guys. Like, he's just small. Like, he actually defends well. He gives effort. But there's just sometimes where, you know, when you put a lot of effort on offense, it's only but so much you have left on the other side.
I mean, you've seen there was a few plays tonight where like Gabe Vincent just kind of shot over him.
Yeah.
And I mean, you kind of live with that, but his offensively, he's so good that it completely, in my opinion, like on most nights, it wipes that out.
Yeah.
You don't even think about the shots that, you know, a guy shot over the top of him because he had 27 on, you know, 13 shots.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, so, all right. So let's get down to the nitty gritty real quick. So RJ Barrett.
Yeah. Let's talk about him. Actually. That's actually a good start because I got some things to say.
RJ Barrett. He started the game 0-for-4. And when he.
No.
No.
He 0-for-7.
No, I know, but he had to get to 0-for-4 to get the.
Was it 0-for-8?
It was 0-for-8. It was 0-for-8.
Okay.
But he started the game 0-for-4 before coach brought him out, is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I got you. Got you.
Took him out the game. And at that point, I was like, thank God, because it wasn't that he was missing shots. And this is the thing that I think bothers everyone about RJ. It's not that he misses shots. It's the not even looking at a teammate for an open shot so you can take a bad shot. That's what frustrates people. People don't care that you miss shots. It happens. You know what I mean? It's part of the sport.
So I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't watch the entire game. Like, I listened to some. I watched some.
Right.
But from what I heard on the radio, Alan Hahn was on the call with John Giannone.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully. Because Ed Cohen, bro. I think Ed Cohen was on TV tonight, though.
You tell me all the time that you hate listening to Ed.
Yeah, I think Ed Cohen was on TV tonight. It's more palatable on TV, though, because right. You could watch the game.
And, oh, actually, Ed Cohen was on TV. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but when you... It's less noticeable on TV because you could see what's happening.
You're watching the game, but yeah.
Yeah, on the radio, you need somebody to describe what's happening, and I don't think he's very good at it. But anyways, like, John Giannone was on the call with Alan Hahn, who I think is very good, Alan Hahn.
Yeah.
But according to what they were saying, like, RJ was missing like some bunnies. Was that the case? Did he like get the shot that he wanted but miss?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it wasn't that they were bad shots. That's because, you know, like, and that's the thing that I'm trying to say. Like, it wasn't even that he was missing. And it, because they weren't terrible shots. Like, he was getting to his spot just missing. But it was just the forcing of the shot without ever once looking at a teammate. Like, that kind of shit will not fly. It's just not going to fly. We don't mind that you miss shots. But if you're struggling and you have a guy on you and he's playing good defense for 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds, pass the fucking rock.
Get rid of it. Yeah. Get rid of it.
Doing the spin move and you don't have the nimbleness to be doing the shit that you're trying to do. Pass the ball. Give the ball up. And it's frustrating because I want to see you be able to make these moves. But when I see you try to do it and then you force it for 10 seconds of the 24-second shot clock and we already spent 4 to 6 trying to get up the court, now it's like, RJ, we have 4 seconds left to make a move and now you have to force a shot up because you've had the ball the whole possession and now nobody else is open. So now you have to force a shot. You know what I mean? So I think RJ needs to find a spot. He needs to find a go-to move. And if it doesn't work, swing the rock. That's it. Like, and I think he'll be fine. Because even if they let you reset, at least you're not hammering the ball on the floor for 5 to 10 seconds to put up a bad shot. You know what I'm saying? And this mm-hmm. is kind of what I was alluding to last week when we were talking about RJ, is because he hasn't had the greatest example. Like the main guy in front of him, the guy that is his leader, who they run the offense through, he kind of plays like that sometimes. And as a young guy, you soak up everything that you see, especially right in front of you. So this is why I'm really looking forward to, hopefully, if RJ is here for another year or however long RJ is here, I'm looking forward to what he can actually learn from guys like Brunson and Hart and Hartenstein. Like, because I feel like he looked up to Randall a little bit too much with certain things, and sometimes he attacks his play calling in the way Randall would attack his play calling. And I think sometimes that it can throw the momentum off. When I'm not going to blame him for any losses that we've had, but there's been games where, you know, the momentum can slip because you're trying to do too much and not so much time. And then,
yeah. So that was going to be like my take, right? Mm-hmm. Was that I thought that he wasn't very good in the first half. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Second half,
as always. The thing about RJ is, like, he could be completely dead in the water. Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, he manages to do some things
right
that help you win in the end. That's why I'm like, I know I'm hard on him sometimes, but, like,
yeah,
you got to respect it.
Right.
Like, he came out in the second half, and he was much better. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, kudos to him. Hit a big shot in the corner
mm-hmm.
to kind of... I mean, they came right back and hit a three, unfortunately, but still hit a three that kind of buried these guys for sure. Because I think the Knicks were up 8 and he hit the Knicks were up 97-89 and he hit a three to make it 100-89. Mm-hmm. Thought that was a big shot.
Huge shot.
Just to kind of swing the math in the Knicks' favor where now these guys probably don't have a chance to come back.
Right. Yeah, which is what we were worried about.
Yeah, so big. Listen. Much better second half. That's all I say. And he was out there for a lot of that second half, and he didn't kill you, right? And we've seen games where he's literally killed you.
Taking
you out of the game, or like help momentum shift with like just a silly ass turnover or something like that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case tonight. I thought that even though he didn't shoot well, for the most part, his process was okay. So you wish that he shot it better, but I'm okay with RJ tonight. And I thought his defense was pretty good, too.
Yeah. And that's, you know, for some reason, he kind of plays well against Miami. And I think it might be the Tyler Hero comparison.
Well, I think that it's the matchup, especially, like, when they have Hero on him. I mean, yeah. Tyler just be hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, for dear life. It's just like, ugh. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, somebody help me here. I mean, he's like, it sucks because on the other end, it's kind of like the same thing. Because RJ cannot stay up with, he can't stay with Tyler Hero. But he was serviceable tonight. He was a lot better. But the thing is that Tyler Hero is such a pure shot, man. And he can
get
whatever spot he wants to and get whatever shot off. So it's hard to stop him from scoring. I think he had 30 something the last time he played us. So, you know, but RJ ended up finishing, like I say, he started off 0-for-8 and then ended up going 4-for-5 for the rest of the game, which is what you want to see. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You finish the game 4-for-5. It's hitting big shots, 5 rebounds, no assists, 12 points only, -1 and a plus minus. But coach had him out there for the entire fourth quarter for a reason. You know what I mean? It's just the things that he needs to learn, especially going into the playoffs. He's been there before, so I just want to see a little bit better RJ. Now, let's just get it out the way. Because this shit is getting old. at this point. It's starting to get really old.
Talk to him.
People need to shut up with this Grimes shit at this point, because I've always said it has nothing to do with Grimes. Grimes has not been part of the offense. There's no way you can... Did you see what he did on All-Star Weekend?
That yeah, I've seen it. Whenever I've seen it, bro.
He can do whatever, almost anything on the court offensively. And damn it, defensively as well. I haven't seen anything Quentin Grimes can't do outside of pulling up for mid-range jump shots. That's the only thing he can't do, because it's like too much float in it. And then, you know what I mean? It's
It'll come.
Yeah, he's young. I'm not worried about that. But it's obvious the only reason why he wasn't getting shots up is because he wasn't part of the offense. And that's what all I was worried about. I said, with Jalen Brunson coming back, I want to see now how they keep him. If it was just let's fill in those missed shots that we're usually getting from Jalen, let's give those to Grimes because Jalen isn't here. I wanted to see if they were actually going to keep him part of the offense. He takes 14 shots tonight. He took more shots than Jalen Brunson.
A team high 14 shots.
You know what I mean?
Emmanuel quickly.
Now, caveat, Jalen Brunson didn't play the fourth quarter.
And Julius Randle wasn't out there as well.
So these numbers are like that. But like I'm saying, 8 of 14 from the field from Quentin Grimes. And Jalen Brunson was out there a lot with Quentin in the first three quarters. And he didn't take 14 shots in the fourth quarter.
And the thing that I love more than anything, bro, and this is why I'm not benching him. Volume, bro. 5 of 10 from three.
5 of 10.
Guy got up 10 threes, yo.
Made five.
We need a guy who shoots threes in volume.
Yep.
This guy, he gets it and he lets it fly. You can't have... I just... The people who are saying start Josh Hart, I love Josh Hart.
Yeah.
I don't want a guy in the lineup with Jalen, RJ, and Julius who thinks about whether or not he should take this three or not. We need a guy in the starting lineup who lets it fly, bro. This guy gets up his threes, man. If he's semi-open, he's shooting it. And I think it's important just for the offense, the way it flows, to have a guy who just doesn't hesitate.
So we'll talk about Hart in a little bit, but, you know, I'm a big Josh Hart fan, as we all know. My favorite Nick. I've been verbal about that.
Terrific tonight, by the way.
Amazing tonight. Like I said, we'll get to him. But I can't start someone who, in 28 minutes of basketball, and with the capability that he has to take or shoot the three, that he only took one. In that lineup with Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Jalen Brunson, you need floor spacers. You don't need a bunch of guys on the floor trying to create offense. We need someone to shoot. And there's nobody on this team that gets up a better three-point shot than Quentin Grimes, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody. Nobody has...
No hesitation, bro.
No one has the speed at which they do it, the balance, the consistency.
He took one tonight that bothered me, though.
Which one? The sidestep one?
Nah. It was one where he was basically on the left side of the court all alone with Duncan Robinson. And in my mind, I'm like, that's Duncan Robinson. Like, go right at him.
Yeah.
Like, use that first step and just attack him. You know what I mean? Force a foul or get to the basket. And he shot a three and he missed it short. And I'm just like, you could have attacked that, bro. Like, you got to know who's on you.
Right.
And you probably could have attacked that. But I mean, other than that, I mean, that's just me nitpicking.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're nitpicking, as I like to say.
Yeah, nitpicking.
But I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like, there's certain things that you're always, every guy is gonna have something that you want to see him do better, and that's the point of having a basketball. But if you don't have anything to fix, if you don't think you can grow, If you don't want to see anyone do anything different, then they better be Michael Jordan. They better be Kobe Bryant. They better be LeBron James. They better not have a weakness at all. And all those guys have weaknesses, by the way. So, you know what I mean? Like, you like you said the other day, everybody is where they're supposed to be. Everybody is where they're supposed to be.
Quickly's supposed to come off the bench. Grimes is supposed to start. Hart is supposed to come off the bench. Yeah. Everything is exactly how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Don't change a thing.
Yep. I don't know why I wanted Grimes starting before the season started. We never saw him as a starter prior to.
Well, I mean, I heard that much to the, you know, probably dismay of Evan Fournier. Like, I heard that if Quentin Grimes was healthy during training camp, he was the starting shooting guard. And the only reason he wasn't the starting shooting guard to start the season is because he was hurt.
Right, exactly. I knew that. And I knew that for a fact. I knew for a fact he was starting. Because to me, the thing about it is you can't have Brunson there and then you're worried about defense. And then have Fournier backing him up on defense. Like, that's just, I don't care how good of a shooter you are, Fournier. You ain't that good of a shooter where I'm not going to care about your defense. Especially when people attack Jaylen. You know what I'm saying? Then people attack Evan. So, I'm not putting that much pressure on RJ Barrett because I know he can't handle that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know RJ can't handle that. So, let's just not even do that. And then that, let's pass down that pressure to Julius Randle. We know he can't handle that. So, you mean to tell me that entire lineup, the only player that would be able to help you on defense at all is Mitchell Robinson. So, I don't want Evan Fournier as my starting two. I don't care what he did, but I don't care what records you broke. I'm sorry. I'm cool. I've seen what I needed to see. Grimes is my starter, especially if I'm putting Jalen Brunson as my starting point guard. I need some defensive assistance back there. I need that. So, that's what you're seeing this year. You know what I mean? And that was without me seeing him play a minute. I knew he was going to be a starter. I didn't know how. I didn't see this.
He's literally exactly what you needed in the starting lineup because you needed a guy with some size who could take on the best guard or wing on the other side. Right? Because, RJ did it last year and, it's kind of like it was mixed reviews there. Like, some nights he was okay, some nights he wasn't. Yeah. And then this year he kind of got off to a really bad start defensively. I think he's been better since the All-Star break. But you needed a guy like Grimes who would take that assignment, own that shit, and who can make open shots. And he's not just a spot-up shooter. Like, he does a little bit of everything. You see some of his playmaking. He should have had 5 assists tonight.
He does a lot.
He threw a beautiful pass to Hartenstein, and Hartenstein blew the layup.
Oh, my God.
But 23 points tonight in 36 minutes, 8 of 14 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3, 2 of 3 from the line, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 4 assists. Like, turned it over twice, and it was a plus 3. This dude is a baller, people. Like, all of the talk about benching him. Like, I'm glad this little 4-game run that he's been on could not have come at a better time.
No, not at all. 20 points in the last 4 games, bro. Is it the last 4?
He didn't score 20 last game. So, 3 of the last 4 games.
3 of the last 4 games. 3 of the last 4 games, 20 plus points.
Man. Like, can we end the talk now, y'all? Please. Can we end the talk?
See, but the thing is that they're saying, well, it should be Quickly because of what Quickly has done recently. And it's like, dude, like, now Quickly did look good next to Brunson today. But
Quickly is great, though. We know that. But, like, there's nothing wrong with him being great off the bench.
Right. Like, he doesn't have to start. Like, I'm not going to say I don't see anything that means that he should start over Grimes. Because that's not what I mean. They play 2 different positions. And that's the thing. I think
I just like the little bit of extra size that Grimes gives in the starting lineup.
Right. I mean, What quickly gives up in height, he does have in length.
Yeah, you know? But like he's also like he doesn't have the girth, I guess, that Grimes has.
Yeah.
Like, so when Grimes is guarding Jimmy Butler, right? Like, I don't know. That matchup doesn't hit the same, bro.
Yeah.
It's like putting quickly on Butler instead. So instead, you got to end up with RJ on him, right? And quickly's the starter. Like, I don't know, bro. It's just not the same, man. Like, Grimes is fine in the starting lineup. He's exactly where he needs to be. He's exactly what the starting lineup needs.
Right.
Right. Like, you guys just want to put more scoring in the starting lineup. That's all y'all care about.
And I
hate to say y'all, because I know not everybody thinks that. But not everybody. The people who do, we know who you are.
Right.
You've shown yourself over the last month.
A lot.
Like, we know exactly who you are. Because y'all have been showing y'all ass the last month, though. Because the bench Grimes stuff has been coming out crazy the last month, yo.
Mm-hmm. Like, a lot. Like,
a lot, yo.
It's wild because I've even saw another anti-Grimes post within this four-game streak right now. And it's kind of like, are y'all not watching the game, like, at all? Like, you just want to have your narrative and keep it, and that's it? Like, you don't want to be wrong on that?
Like, they don't care, bro. They only care about their agenda.
Right, right. Jose, shout out to Jose, by the way. He's always here. My man, Jose. He said, quickly is not the defender Grimes, and that's a fact.
Yo, and it's not so much that, like, quickly is a bad defender. It's just
a great defender.
Yeah, but I always say this. Quickly's value on defense is, to me, more off the ball. Like, his rotations, everything are great.
Yeah.
Right? And Grimes is better at the point of attack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You put Grimes in front of anybody almost, and he's gonna make you work for it. He's not gonna
put Grimes on an island with somebody and feel pretty good about it. Whereas quickly, I think his value is more in his rotations, being where he needs to be, knowing where to be. But he's also pretty good at the point of attack too. Like, he's a good all around defender. I just feel like Grimes' strength and size at the point of attack gives him more of an advantage over quickly.
On ball, yeah. Yeah, and that's the good thing. Well, while we're talking about quickly,
let's get to it.
Who else was 8 of 14 from the field? It was like they were identical tonight. 124 points to 123 points. Emmanuel quickly leads the team in scoring tonight with 23 points. 3 steals, 4 assists, 1 rebound, 2 of 5 from the three-point line. The only thing he did wrong for the first time in his career was shoot in the 50s from the free throw line. 6 of 11 from the free throw line. Not something that you wanted to see from quickly, especially because you know how good of a free throw shooter you can be. But shit, I mean, not everything could be perfect, but he was
like, not what you want.
Yeah.
It's not what you want, though. In the Knicks, when they missed their first 6 or 7 free throws.
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, first of all, we go up 8-0. And I'm like, oh, all right, let's do this.
Oh, man, yeah.
And then they go on a 14-0 run. Oh, 14-0. So now the score is 14-8. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? They can't make a freaking jump shot, a free throw. They had 6 turnovers in the first quarter. Wasn't it over,
just kicking the ball around. Like, is this soccer or basketball?
Right. Like, what the hell are y'all doing out there?
You know what the Knicks look like in the first quarter?
What?
The Knicks look like a nervous team in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Quentin Grimes, I don't know what that first quarter would have looked like.
I mean, this probably would have been a done deal. Because Quentin Grimes definitely, he kept us in that game, bro. Like, there was...
He had 9 of the first 11 points.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, I think I don't know how efficient he could do. I just love the fact that we're going into the playoffs with guys like this. We didn't have this version of Quickly when we went into the playoffs last time. We didn't have Quentin Grimes. We didn't have Jalen Brunson. We didn't have Mitchell Robinson. All we had that's currently on this roster was Quickly.
It's RJ.
Quickly, RJ, and Julius. I mean, Quickly was young.
A different version of Quickly.
A rookie version.
Of
rookie Quickly and a rookie Obi. That's all we had. A rookie Quickly. A rookie Obi, RJ.
And year two RJ.
Year two RJ and Julius Randle. Now, my biggest thing everyone was saying at that time, I remember everybody's like, do you really want to go to the first round and then get bounced, or shouldn't you just lose and then go see what you can get in the lottery? And I'm like, hell no. I need these guys to get that damn experience so they yep. know what the hell playoff basketball is about. And if you ask me, this year they've been proving to me that they've because they now they know how to stay the course for an entire game. And that's something that we didn't really see out of the past teams.
And tonight, and what was essentially a playoff type game.
Right.
Like, they handled their business. So yeah. If you're a Knicks fan, you got to feel good about the way they played tonight.
Right, exactly. And you know what I mean? And like you said, Jalen Brunson didn't touch the floor in the fourth quarter at all. So, you know, and that's credit to Tibbs having guys in there like Quickly, Grimes, that have had the experience with Jalen Brunson being out. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of what you now you gave them the confidence to do it without him there. Now integrate it. That's what we want to see. Integrate it. I want to see you using Grimes in the offense. Because let's be honest with you. You guys use the hell out of Evan Fournier. There's no reason why you shouldn't be using Quentin Grimes just as much as you use Evan Fournier. If not, a little bit close to that. You know what I mean? Because even though Evan Fournier was a great shooter, I think there's just so many times where Grimes is in a position where you think that he can't get a shot off. And no matter what, he gets that shot off. Because like Jose said, that elevation. So Grimes is just, he's staying there. He's there. He's part of our future. He's probably somebody who will be on this team longer than many other of the younger players on this roster. I predict he'll be on this roster longer than RJ.
I think Grimes going to be around for a while.
Yeah, longer than any other guy on this team that's around his age, including RJ. That's just my personal opinion. And at least until his contract comes up, because we know when his contract comes up, he's going to demand. Let's be honest. If we look at the way he's looking now in year two, we got two more years for this guy to develop before we got to offer him a contract. Do you imagine what that contract is going to look like? So, I mean, there's no way we can keep all these guys. Let's be honest. Like, there's no way Quickly, the contract that he's going to demand, there's no way we can keep all of these guys on a team.
Yeah, at some point, it's going to have to be some kind of consolidation trade.
Yeah.
But I don't know when. Maybe this summer.
It won't be this year, hopefully. I think they still have some time because they have a lot of guys on their rookie deals. The only other contract that they really need to move is Evan Fournier's contract. Like, they need to get off of that. He's not playing at all. But like you said a long time ago, that's why they made that deal with him, is because they can use it as a trade piece when his contract is expiring, which it by this summer it should be. Who else can we talk about? Josh Hart, man. First of all, shout out to Josh Hart, because last game versus the Heat, Jimmy Butler had his way with Josh Hart. They were also in Miami, so the refs kind of let that happen.
There's a lot of chicanery.
A lot of bullshit happened that game. A
lot of chicanery with the refs in that game, bro.
It was crazy. But tonight, Josh Hart came back and he was playing great defense. I think Jimmy Butler only had 12 points tonight. And we're talking about Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? Like, there was some times where if anyone else was guarding him, I'm like, he's going to the line.
Only 14 fouls, by the way. Only for the Knicks tonight.
Only 14 fouls. Now, speaking of fouls, just real quick, we were 12 of 23 from the free throw line as a team. That's disgusting.
But it wasn't good. The fact that this team, but that also speaks to this team, man. The fact that this team could go 12 of 23 from the line, turn it over 15 times, and win by 9, like, I don't know. They're good. They figure a way, bro.
Yeah, but I'm concerned because it's the worst offensive team in the league. Now, if we had, let's say we were playing the middle of the pack team, we're playing the Wizards this week.
They are the worst offensive team in the league, and they look like it tonight. Right. I think the Knicks defense had a lot to do with that. This team is also like a team that was in the finals 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and was a Jimmy Butler 3 away from the finals last year. Mm-hmm. Like, so, and they basically ran it back with the same squad.
Right.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is like, they are the worst offense in the NBA this year. But they're also like capable and dangerous.
Yeah.
And this was a big game. And this team still figured out a way to do it against that team with all that experience, right? Mm-hmm. With basically a championship or bust mentality. And they figured out a way. So that's all I'm saying, bro. It's like I've been saying all year that the Knicks are good. The Knicks figure out a way to win games. And tonight was no different.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern would be when we're playing a team like, say we're playing a team like the Wizards, who are not a great team, but you got guys like Kyle Kuzma, who can go off. You got guys like Kristaps Porzingis, who can go off. And they're at those positions where it's not just like they're a short guard and, you know, it's different. Like, when you're a wing and a unicorn as well in this league, it's so easy to score when you get hot. It's different than like the Jalen Brunson getting hot or Julius Randle getting hot. Like, it's kind of scary. So, you know, I just don't, there's a lot of situations in this game where guys could have made shots and they didn't, but that's because they're not a great shooting team. Now, if you replace those guys with Kyle Kuzma's and Kristaps Porzingis, it's a little different, you know, and I'm just randomly picking a team out there. I'm not worried about the Wizards. I think we should beat them when we play them on Sunday. But like I said, it's just those plays where certain guys might not give all that effort, and it would work against a team like the Heat, but it's not going to work against a team that has shooters that'll make you pay for it. Just really not getting out there. By the way, want to shout out to Clyde. Happy birthday. Clyde Frazier.
Happy birthday, legend.
Yeah, happy birthday to the legend. Winning and spinning all the Clydeisms that you can have, throw them in the chat for the guy. It's just, I forgot what we were talking about before that, but regardless,
about Josh Hart.
Yeah, Josh Hart. So 6-7 from the field. Just hella great efficiency, and that's kind of like what you.
It's a Villanova thing, bro.
Yeah, man. You gotta have him out there. You know what I mean? Like, there's some plays he made down the stretch tonight. It's just like, damn, bro. Like, we got him. We got guys like him. We got guys like Grimes and Quickly, who just are two-way players and team guys at the same time. I just really hope that it rubs off on our top three guys. Especially Randall and RJ.
But 49 points from the bench.
49 points from the bench tonight, which was
49 of the 101.
Yeah, of the 101.
From the bench tonight.
We didn't really score a lot of points tonight.
I mean, listen, the Heat are as good as they are, as bad as they are offensively, they're that good defensively.
Right.
So
exactly.
And this is what they wanted, though. They want to ugly the game up, bro. They want to muck it up. That's why they're in the passing lanes and they're reaching a lot. Like, they want to junk the game up and make it ugly so that they have so that their offense has a chance.
Right. Yeah.
So
the only way.
I mean, you kind of knew it was going to be a game like this tonight, which is why, like, I'm fine with it. You know.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of why I, you know, and they also came off of back to back, so yeah. It's kind of like taking advantage of that. We kind of knew that they came off a game, and we had to go out there and beat them. We had a few games off. I think that's probably why our first quarter was so bad. We had a few days off, but we didn't play in three games. I think 2 days. Last day we played was Thursday, I think. We were off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, I think a lot of that was rhythm. Hopefully Julius gets back and everything's cool. He walked it off. He's a tough guy. I'm not worried about
Julius. I can tell you this, though. He ain't going to be back on Friday. That I'm sure of.
I hope not. I hope
not. Because that didn't look good. He's going to miss a few games.
And as he should going into the playoffs. At this point, I think he only plays at the end of this season. Because it's 5 games left.
Yep.
We're more than likely going to see him before the season is over. But if we're winning games without him, say we win the... We got a guest tonight.
Fam.
Like I was saying, say we win.
You need a damn job.
The dog got a job. She's on the show. So.
Why are you laughing?
Like I was saying, if we win the next 3 games, say we go and we beat Cleveland and then we beat Cleveland Wizards and then the Pacers. If we win the next 3 games and then all we have left is the Pelicans and the Pacers, I don't see Julius Randle playing for the rest of the season. I think they're gonna just let him just chill if he has to miss that much time.
If you're the Knicks, like you feel good, you handle your business tonight, which makes Julius missing some games hurt a little less. Like you handled your business tonight, and you know you got the lead over Miami. Brooklyn can't win a game right now, so you feel pretty good about holding down that fifth spot. So if Julius has to miss a few games, like I think this team is more than good enough to survive, especially with Jalen back.
Mm-hmm. I think we should be good. I think we clinched a top 6 seed, so we're definitely not going to the play-in with this win. We didn't clinch the fifth yet. I think
You feel good about it though.
We gotta feel good about it because Brooklyn hasn't been winning. We're still 2.5 games in front of Brooklyn.
And we had not necessarily. Because I think the conference records are pretty close. But I think it's division record actually. It's not conference record, it's the next tiebreaker. Because we split with them. So I think with Brooklyn it would be division record. And the Knicks are 8-8 in the division. I think they're already done with division games. And the Nets have one more division game, which is the last game of the season.
Okay. And that's versus who?
That's versus
Toronto or
Philly, I believe.
Philly. Okay. Well, I mean, hopefully. Wait, who's our division, Ellen? Is it us, Celtics, Philly, Brooklyn, and Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well,
Jose Garcia, you said we need to foul more. Why? Especially like tonight, this is the team you don't want to foul. You want to make them make shots because they've proven all year they can't shoot straight.
That's it.
But they are like the second best free throw shooting team in the league. Like you want to keep them off the line. They're 83% free throw shooting team is a free throw shooting 83%. Shooting free throw team, so you want to keep them off the line. Like the last thing you want to do is foul those guys.
Especially Jimmy Butler, because you know, especially Jimmy Butler, he gets to the free throw line and he'll have 29 points off like 14 free throws.
14 is exactly what you want. The game plan, I'm sure it was on the whiteboard tonight. Don't foul. Keep them off the line. Like what are we fouling for? To put a team at the line that can't score?
that can't score. We're going to give them points? We're going to give them points? I'm like, nah.
Can't score, but basically as a team are automatic from the line.
By the way.
The game plan has to be when you play Miami to keep them off the line, to have Jimmy not shoot 20 free throws.
Right, exactly. But by the way, I don't know what the hell Tony Brothers has against New York.
Tony Brothers is... I'm not going to say bad things about Tony. Never mind. But I'm not a fan. I just put it like that.
It's been...
I've heard some things about him, bro.
10, 15 years, bro, where it's just like every single time he plays, there's some fuck shit happens.
Like, for example, right? The Jimmy play, where they call it a double dribble. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to understand is, like, you make the call.
What made you review it?
How do you review it, though? Like, the Heat didn't challenge.
Right. Exact. That was my thing. Why are you guys reversing the call? Like,
that's why Tibbs was going nuts. Like, it didn't make sense, bro. Like, what are we standing here talking about? There's not a review. Like, you're just... They eliminated the referee reviewing things in, like, I guess the last 2 minutes. And I don't even think it was 2 minutes. I think it was more than 2 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't understand what you guys are talking about.
And there was
no time. Made the call. It was the wrong call. You made a bad call. Like, it's not like it's an out of bounds play where, like, they might come together for like a few minutes to see, like, what it's a double dribble call. And you guys are having a 3 minute discussion about it. I don't understand. Without the Heat having to use a challenge.
Bro, and that's why I was saying when I was looking at it, and I'm like, yo, this just smells like the Melo era when Tony Brothers used to ref our games. It stunk. That shit was just disgusting. Jose says, you guys like to argue with me when I'm wrong. Listen, Jose, we love you, bro.
But this is what we're here for.
That's what we're supposed to do, man.
Hey, it's not even about making you wrong. It's really, I feel like doing this, like, my job is to just provide perspective.
Yeah,
that's it. You don't necessarily have to agree with it. That's fine. But
no,
I'm me and you and Ricky and Dre. It's our job to provide perspective and, like, I don't know, like, not necessarily be right or wrong, but to give people a different view and to do it objectively, right? Like, not just as Knicks fans, mm-hmm. right? Because you don't want to be a homer, like, to do it as right. basketball fans, you know what I mean? And I try to call it, I know you do too. I try to call it straight down the middle, bro. Like, I'm not going to just sit up here and homer because I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Like, if I see the Knicks do something, or if it's time for me to be critical of the Knicks, I have no issue doing that.
Facts. You can't do that as a Knicks fan, because especially as a Knicks fan, because first of all, everybody's going to talk shit about you anyway. Like, they're going to be talking shit about you and your team, like, no matter what. So my thing is okay, cool. I just feel like when it comes to, I'm not going to say that because I'm going to be responding in a way to someone who said something to me. And I don't even think it's worth the response. And they're going to know exactly who it is when I say it. Anyway, let's moving on. We're in the album.
So sometimes you are right, Jose. Yeah. He said when he was screaming, Fournier was horrible last year. Nobody listened to him.
No. Me and you were probably the only ones screaming it together, bro.
But Kat, you know how I felt about Fournier before the signing. I always say he was fake good.
He was fake good.
Yeah. Right? When they signed him, though, I understood why they signed him. Mm-hmm. Which was why I was on board with it. Like, I get why they did it.
Right.
Right? They wanted to bring in a guy who could do more than what Bullock could do. What we didn't see is that he would be that bad defensively. Because in the past, he's kind of graded out as like an average defender, a league average defender, yeah. Which if he's a league average defender. You could live with what he gives you on offense and like just his floor spacing and his gravity. But he was just not good at all defensively. And a lot of that probably has to do with Tibbs's scheme. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta be able to contain your man.
See, and that's the thing with him that frustrated me, because there was plays like when you can tell when he's motivated, because then he's locking somebody up all of a sudden. And then that pisses me off, because it's like, dude, why don't you do that as often as you can do it? Like, you have the capability to do it. We've seen him literally lock up somebody before.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a Celtics game specifically where I thought he was terrific all night on Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, this dude is one of the 5-8 best one-on-one players in the league. And I'm watching you do this. Like, why don't you do this every night when it's like a random guy that's across from you, right, and you can't stay in front of him all of a sudden?
It's just the brain lapses, man. I called for any of the experiment last year, no lateral movement. I mean, that was the thing. He had stumps for feet, man. Like, he just wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going anywhere. Anyway, Wednesday, what's up? What you got?
Nah, I just wanted to talk about the centers real quick. Okay. Because I'm a little bit concerned, I guess. I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, Mitchell Robinson tonight played 19 minutes. And, like, I felt like when he was in there, right, even in the first quarter when the Knicks couldn't make a shot, right, like, I thought he was active on the glass. He had, like, multiple offensive rebounds.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to understand what Mitch has to do to get back on the court, because his minutes are, like, down lately. Now, with that being said, Hartenstein has been the best center on the team.
Yeah, he has. He just has. He's
right?
Yeah.
I just don't feel like Mitch has been bad to where he only plays 19 minutes tonight. I guess that's more what's bugging me more than anything else. And even in the last game, like, you've seen what he can do when he's out there.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he came out in the third quarter last night, and I thought that he changed the game.
Right.
And he had a block tonight where he just basically snatched it off the glass. And I think it turned into a Quentin Grimes three.
It was Bam Adebayo's shot too.
Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on there. What's the thinking? Because it kind of turned into Mitch playing like, you know, maybe 30 minutes a night, and then, you know, Hartenstein getting his 18. Then it became almost like 50-50, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, Mitch would have 25 and Hartenstein would have 23, or it would be 24-24. And now tonight, like, 19 minutes. It just jumped out at me, I guess.
I think the problem that – I don't think it's a problem.
It's a good problem.
I don't even think it's a problem. I literally just think Hartenstein's playing great. Like, I really just think that's it. Hartenstein's playing great. If it was a problem, I don't think Mitch would be starting. You know what I'm saying? I think the fact that coach is continuing to run him out there, I think that means, as a starter too, I think that means that he wants Mitch to be the starter. I just think that it depends on what he's seeing game to game, because there's certain games where Mitch is out there a lot, and there's other games where it's like, oh, shit, well, where the hell is Mitch tonight? And this is one of those games, I don't know if it was because of... I don't know.
We always complain that, like, Tibbs... Well, we complained in the past that sometimes Tibbs could be a bit rigid or, like, you know, like, maybe not reactive or, like, responsive to what's going on the court sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little slow to react.
Yeah.
I feel like tonight, and even more, like, this season, probably than I can remember, he's kind of going with his gut. I think he went with his gut tonight. Hartenstein was terrific, and he just said, I'm riding with it.
And
I'm not against what happened tonight. I'm just trying to figure out, like, the thinking behind it and, like, what to expect moving forward, I guess.
I also don't want to panic because along with Jalen Brunson, Mitchell Robinson didn't play in the fourth quarter because that unit that was out there played so well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so. I think this might be a game by game thing. I do think that Mitchell Robinson might. I think he might be okay. I think the coach really likes Mitch because he loves defense, of course. He loves that Mitch can play damn the defense everywhere. But, you know, I think. I honestly just think it was tonight and the fact that Hartenstein had it rolling. The matchup just worked a little bit better in that favor. But I think it's a game by game thing. Coaches showed me that he will play whoever the game is calling for each night.
Yeah, quickly had a play tonight. I'm looking for it that I thought was kind of a big play in the game where the ball was being swung around the perimeter. All right, here it goes, right? Oh, it was the Quentin Grimes dunk that led to the Quentin Grimes dunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
That play, right? And I think I seen Brunson make a play like this earlier in the year where it's just instinct, right? Because it was kind of a scramble and quickly was kind of 2-on-1, basically. Mm-hmm. Like there were two guys on that side of the court and he had to make a decision on who he was going to run to.
Right.
And he read the play, and I think Duncan Robinson kind of was open. Mm-hmm. And then Duncan tried to swing it for like an extra pass and quickly kind of split the difference and picked it off. And then it led to the Grimes dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was a great play. I thought that was one of the biggest plays of the game.
Quickly is, he's really, imagine him when he's a veteran, man. Like, imagine quickly as a veteran. He's going to be a really, really great leader, man. I'm not going to lie. He's going to be a great leader. Pudge, salute to you. He said, Randall, man, down. Yeah, man. Hopefully he takes just the game off, gets himself back. That means that he'll miss Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, or Thursday and Friday. You know what I mean?
I'm about to pull up the schedule. I think there's another like two day off scenario coming up too. I think after the Cleveland game, right?
So yeah, we have, so right here it says the Cleveland is the 31st, which is Friday. Washington is Sunday the 2nd. Pacers is Wednesday the 5th.
Okay, so that's the 2 day off.
That's the 2 day off, yeah.
So after the Pacers game.
Mm-hmm. After the Wizards game.
Okay, I think that I don't think he's playing the next two games at least.
Julius.
Yeah.
I don't think he's definitely not playing against the Cavs. Sunday it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that means it gives him about 3 days to rest. I don't know.
Because Sunday versus the Pacers would be a week off.
Right. Yeah.
For me, if he's ready to go on Wednesday, I'm playing him Wednesday. I would not play him Sunday. This guy has been a horse all year long. He's played the most minutes in the NBA.
Like, he doesn't need to play the last two games.
He doesn't need to play these next two games. And if he's not ready to go Wednesday, like if he's not 100% Wednesday, I wouldn't play him Wednesday either. He just doesn't need to be out there. He has nothing to prove.
Yo, like he doesn't need to play the last three simply because we're playing the Pacers twice, and the Pacers are headed to the lottery anyway. They're not even playing the best guys.
And I mean, I don't know what Brooklyn's got coming up, but I don't think they're catching us. I think that the Knicks will handle their business these last five games. Yeah. There's no reason for this guy to be in there if he's not 100%. That's just the point I'm trying to make. And I wouldn't mess around with it. Like, he's too important. We need this guy in the playoffs, contrary to what some Knicks fans might believe. Like, I wouldn't risk it at all, bro. Like, I wouldn't. I wouldn't mess with it. If there's any risk at all, I wouldn't take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at this point, going into the playoffs, don't do it. Don't do it. So Wednesday, we'll be back versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it's not at home. It's at their house. We got to go to their crib. We got to take a win. We have, I think we play, I think we have one more home game this year or two?
One more. Two. Against Washington. Oh, two more. Washington and Indiana.
And Indiana, our last game. That's a good thing to have Indiana, the last game of the season, being the last game at home this season. So
I'm trying to think. Like, so what do you think? How many? What are we, 2.5 up on Brooklyn?
Yeah, 2.5.
2.5 with 5 to play. I think if we win 2 more, like, I think we'll win more than 2 more. But I think if we win 2 more, like, we'll have that pretty much locked down, bro.
Yeah.
So, and this is why I wouldn't play around with Julius.
Yeah, there's no point. There's no point. I think we're fine without him. At this point, you can win a game without, you can win a game or two without Julius.
How do you think Cleveland's gonna play this? Jose Garcia just mentioned that they clinched. How do you think they play it on Friday? They might rest their guys.
They might rest their guys. I mean, and that's, they don't really care about positioning. If they get to this position that they want, they're not gonna play their guys. I wouldn't play them either if I was them. So that's an easy dub for us, especially if Julius doesn't play.
I wouldn't say anything easy, but easy dub. I told you, bro. I don't believe in easy wins no more. But yeah, not this year. Yeah, this year has been a weird year.
Yeah, it's just been.
In fact, I heard a crazy ass stat the other day. Cleveland is gonna be the. Hold on, it's not Cleveland. It's, God damn it, man, my memory. Oh yeah, Philly. Philly's gonna be the first third place team in either conference to finish with a net rating under 5, the first ever. That just goes to show you that, like, how competitive things have been this year.
Right.
And even, like, if you look at some of the net ratings, like the top net rating in the league, like, we've seen, I think, Golden State in their big year, they finished with a net rating of, like, it was, like, over 10.
Right.
Like, there's no net rating like that this year. Like, there's no dominant net rating because everything is so much parity, bro. Every game is close. Like, nobody's blowing anybody out. So that's why I always tell people, if you don't come in and play your best ball, or at least somewhere close to it, you're going to get beat.
It's a fact. It's just, there's no other way to say it.
This year is different, yo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much it. That's all I got. Hopefully we can finish in 5th like we're supposed to, which means that we didn't lose a whole bunch of games and the Nets won a bunch of games. They haven't been winning, so we got to take care of business first and foremost. And that's pretty much it, man. We gotta continue to finish out the season the way we should, professionally, developing chemistry, developing the right habits. That's one reason why I kind of do want Julius back before the end of the season, at least for a game or two. It was just for habits and chemistry, but I'm not necessarily worried about that. More so worried about his health, and hopefully he gets back safe because we need him to be healthy in order for us to be the engine that we're running at fully.
Like I said, yeah, these 9 guys in the rotation. I said it the last 2 shows. We literally can't afford to lose one guy.
Not one guy. Right. Exactly. So, pardon me. I was trying to get out here before I yawned again. Damn. Pardon me, y'all. It's pretty late. 11:55. Hopefully, we can get the dub on Wednesday versus the Cleveland. Today is Wednesday. On Friday versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And then I'd even sit Brunson after that. If we can win versus the Cavs and maybe even the War, I don't want to see Brunson and Julius Randle somehow, some way. I don't want to see either one of them the last 2 games of the season.
Yeah, because the magic number is 2.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's basically a combination of Knicks wins and Nets losses.
Right, exactly.
So win one or two more games. The Nets are, I feel like, inevitably going to lose at least one more.
Right.
Wow.
And then they're going to be locked into the sixth seed, which is crazy. But, you know, that is what it is. All right, man. Well, that's all I got. Hopefully you guys have a great evening. Thank you guys for coming out with us. If you're still here, hit that like, hit that subscribe, ring that bell so you're notified. What else, Joe? What, you know, talk to them. Talk to them. What else do they do? Because I know you.
Hey, man, you know, share. Share with your, I don't know, the girl downstairs that you like. You try to walk your dog the same time she do. Yo, man, if you go out to eat, you know, your significant other, share with your waiter. Yep. You know, if you give compliments to the chef, you know, let him know.
Listen, when you
let him know about the Guard Up Knicks podcast. Share with him too.
When you leave a tip, put the @GuardUpKnicks right under that.
Facts.
But listen, man, thank y'all for coming out. Like I said, if you're listening to podcast form, just please do me a favor. Hit us with a 5-star and a review. Just let us know how we're doing. And I appreciate you guys for tuning in. And as we usually say, until next time, y'all have a good one. Peace.
Peace, love, and orange and blue light.
Yes, sir.